talk to you this morning about returning empty. Returning empty. This morning we are in the book of Ruth, but I really don't want to really look at the story of Naomi and Ruth. What I really want to do is I want to look at a truth in a particular verse. Ruth chapter 1, we're going to look at one verse. That's verse 21. Verse 21. Naomi says, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. And what I really feel from the Lord to begin by saying is that often when a person is truly born again and they have wholly given themselves to the Lord, there is what we can call the honeymoon period. And what I mean by that is when we first get saved and we give our hearts wholly to the Lord, it can really be a wonderful time where it seems like heaven is open and there's such joy and the richness of God's presence is so rich within our heart and our lives. And it really seems like there's not a cloud in our sky. I know some don't experience that, but for the others, they do experience that. It's just a wonderful time where the presence of the Lord is so rich within our lives. It's a time when God speaks wonderful promises to our hearts. Many times when we're first saved, there are so many saints that surround our lives and just really begin to encourage us in the Lord and speak to us and tell us the things that God wants to do in our life and how God wants to use our life if we will just stay yielded to the Lord. It's a time of wonderful encouragement. Of us seeing God perform great miracles in our lives. That as we're truly born again, God begins to intervene in our lives and He begins to put things in order. And for so many, we've come to the Lord, but only after a season of sin. And sin has made such havoc of our lives and such messes of our lives, and we get ourselves in all kinds of problems. But then we see the Lord begin to intervene in our lives and begin to put things back in order. And it really is a miraculous time watching the hand of God move in our life. God intervenes and He begins making things beautiful, and we are living in a wonderful realm of seeing God perform the impossible in those early days of our salvation. Wonderful time. But somewhere in this wonderful love relationship with the Lord, He begins to take us on a spiritual journey, a journey of being emptied out. It's a journey of being emptied out of our own strength. It's a journey of being emptied out of all of our own ideas of who we thought God was. It's a journey of being emptied out of our pride and zeal and taught how to walk in simple humility and obedience to the Lord. It's a journey of dependence where we are truly confronted by how needy we are for the Lord and His grace, not just for our salvation, but to daily walk with Him and to serve Him. Brothers and sisters, I just very briefly want to share with you my testimony. And I do ask that you just bear with me because it's something that you heard me speak probably many times. But it was so life-changing to me. I remember when I first got saved, it was a wonderful time. It was a very wonderful time. Such an open heaven. And I remember the presence of the Lord was so wonderful and so rich in my life. And it seemed like wherever I went, whether it was to visit other churches, to hear the word of God preached, or in the privacy of my prayer closet, it seemed like there was such an open heaven where the presence of God was so overwhelming at times in my life. And it seemed like the floodgate of heaven had been opened and I was just immersed in the presence of the Lord. It's a wonderful time of just basking in the presence of the Lord. And my early salvation was a time of seeing God's do great miracles. Sin had made such an overwhelming mess in my life and a lot of problems. But when I gave my life to the Lord began to start putting things in order. And I saw the Lord open doors and give me favor in places that in my own strength I could have never achieved. I could have never opened those doors. I've seen God do miraculous things for me. And it was such a time. My early salvation was a time of wonderful hope and encouragement because it seemed like everywhere I went, there were precious saints of God that would just begin to speak into my life and encourage me, if you'll just stay yielded to the hand of God and love God, you're going to see God do great things in your life. I remember sitting in a service. I had just got saved. I was on drugs. I still look like a druggie. Long hair. Believe it or not, folks, one time I had a mohawk. And I was sitting in the very back row. Just all I knew, I had given my life to the Lord. It was a mess. And the pastor called me up in front of the church. And he said, the Lord just wants me to tell you that not to put your eyes on yourself, that if you will just yield your hand to and heart to the Lord, God's going to use you in ways that your mind can't even begin to imagine. And at that time, I was just thinking, how is God going to use me? My life is so messed up right now. But I saw the Lord perform that promise. It was a time of great encouragement in the Lord. But at the same time, I have to tell you that I was a very proud man. And I thought I knew God's heart. And I thought I knew God's ways. And I was so full of zeal. And the result of that was I was very harsh, very critical, very condemning towards other people. I was always looking at their weaknesses and scorning them. And I have to be honest with you, at that time, my early salvation, I was my pastor back then. I was his worst nightmare. I was very critical of him, very critical of the things that was going on in the church. But I'm so thankful this morning the Lord put me in a church where there was a pastor and a shepherd after God's heart who knew how to have a love that was long-suffering and kind. 1 Corinthians 13:3. But the Lord, somewhere in my walk with God, the Lord began to allow me to walk in my own strength. The Lord began to allow me to try to live a Christian life that was pleasing to Him in my own strength. I have to tell you, I failed horribly at times in my own strength. And it was a great time of disappointment. It was a great time of frustration. It was a great time of crying out to the Lord. And as I was crying out to the Lord just began to speak to my heart. And He said, Tim, I'm showing you something. Tim, I'm showing you that no one can walk without my grace. No one can walk without my strength. No one can live the Christian life without my mercy abundant upon their life. And it was at this time that the Lord put a verse in my heart. Isaiah 40:11 says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lamb with His arms and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And brothers and sisters, we know that the lambs represent the weak ones. The lamb represents the ones that struggle. And the Lord showed me that those that are in a time of weakness and those that are struggling, they really have a very special place in the heart of the Lord. And God began to speak to me that every saint of God, somewhere in their walk with God, there's going to be seasons in their walk with God, that every saint of God is going to fall into a time of weakness and struggle in their Christian walk. And it's at that time that God picks us up and He carries us by His grace, and He carries us by His mercy and His compassion. And that we all need the mercy and the grace and the compassion of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it was a very difficult journey for me to go on. I'm telling you, it was a very difficult journey. It was full of frustration. It's full of personal failure, great personal failure, deep disappointments. But I would not trade anything for that journey the Lord took me on. Still on it today. Still on that journey today. But I understand a lot more of the Lord's heart today through it. And I would not take anything. What God done in my heart is so precious and so priceless on that journey that I would not take anything for that journey. And I would not take anything for the work that God done in my heart. Now let's just ask a question. What does it mean to be emptied out? What does it mean to go on a journey with the Lord and be emptied before Him? Again, look at Ruth chapter 1. Look at verse 21. Ruth chapter 1 verse 21. Naomi says, she says, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. And I really want to emphasize the word full. She says, I went out full. Before the Lord's refining hand is applied to our hearts, often we are full of our own conceptions of who God is and what He's like. We are full of our own ideas how God is going to use our lives and our abilities. We are full of our confidence and trust in our own strength. We are full of pride and all the fears that are conceived out of pride. And so the Lord takes us on a journey, a very humbling journey, where our hearts are truly emptied and humbled before the Lord. It is a journey where we realize God is not everything I perceived Him to be in my own heart. It is a journey where we realize my own strength is not sufficient to be what God wants me to be and do what God wants me to do. It is a journey of realizing that all my efforts and toiling are powerless in bringing life to God's covenant promises. And it's through humility and simple trust in the Lord that they are made alive in me. This is the spiritual journey the Lord takes us on. And when I think about being emptied, I can't help but think about Moses. Moses, for 40 years, was a simple shepherd in a wilderness, and he was practically there in that wilderness every day of his life, taking care of the normal affairs of his life, just being a simple shepherd. But yet he was on a spiritual journey with God, where he was being emptied before the Lord. Now, let me show you a picture of a man who's been emptied before the Lord. I want you to put a marker in Ruth chapter 1. Go with me to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. We are going to read the first three verses. Verse 1 says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly." And verse 3 says, "And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him." And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him. So we see in Genesis 17 that Abraham is 99 years old, and God again comes and confirms his covenant promise to Abraham that he's going to give him a son. Abraham's been walking with the Lord for 24 years now, and he hasn't seen that promise yet. There's been many trials, many tears, I believe, for Abraham. And 24 years later, at 99 years of age, God again comes and confirms his promise. And when God begins to speak to him again about the covenant, about his covenant promises, the Bible says that Abraham fell on his face before the Lord. Now, why did Abraham fall on his face before the Lord? He fell on his face before the Lord because he was empty. He fell on his face before the Lord because he was empty of all his resources in making the promises of God come to pass. You see, when the Lord came to Abraham and Sarah and made them this covenant promise in chapter 12, 24 years ago, they begin to try to work it out in the strength of their own flesh. They begin to look and put their hopes upon the strength of the flesh in order to fulfill this covenant promise. And when years later, when Sarah was too old to have a child, they put their desperate hopes still in the strength of the flesh. They turned to Hagar as the way that God's covenant promised. And of course, turning to Hagar and creating an Ishmael, it represents trusting upon the strength of the flesh. So they were leaning upon the strength of the flesh to produce this covenant promise before God. And what I want us to see is this, like New Covenant believers, the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, that he was justified by faith. But even though he was justified by faith, he still hadn't yet learned to simply trust and rest, letting the Lord fulfill his covenant promises. So the Lord took Abraham on a 24-year journey of being emptied out. The Lord took Abraham on a journey, a 24-year journey, to come to that place of realizing that only God can produce his covenant promises in my life. This was a man who had been emptied, who had went on a spiritual journey with God and had been emptied by the Lord. So what is the evidence that we're truly being emptied? What is the evidence that we are on this spiritual journey with God? And God's beginning to empty us out of our conceptions of who we thought he is, but he's not. And empty us out of our own strength and teach us how to walk in his grace and strength. And emptying us out of our pride and zeal and bringing us to a place where we simply walk in humility and obedience before the Lord. What is the evidence? Well, go with me again to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1 verse 21. And we're going to finish the whole verse. Verse 21, Naomi says, "I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" One of the evidences we see that we're truly being emptied out by the Lord is humility. Now, what did I mean by that? Well, here's the way the Lord showed it to me. In her affliction, Naomi thought the Lord had turned against her. She thought the Lord had made himself her adversary. And this shows me that even though she loved the Lord, she didn't really know his ways. She didn't fully know his ways. Yes, the Lord may afflict us. The Bible talks about the faithful afflictions of God in Psalm 119. How he's faithful to afflict us when we need it. But brothers and sisters, even under the faithful afflictions of the Lord, when our hearts are really toward the Lord, God doesn't set himself against us. He doesn't turn himself against us. He's for us. He doesn't make himself an adversary to us. And so we see that this is what Naomi thought. And brothers and sisters, there's saints who fall into this. Every time adversity and painful crisis hits our lives, we feel like God is turned against us. And this is Naomi. She loved the Lord, but she didn't really understand his ways. Now, with saying that, I see a spiritual truth here, talking about the evidence of when we are truly being emptied out before the Lord. And here's the first evidence, a spiritual truth. When we are empty, there's an acknowledgement. And sometimes a remorseful acknowledgement in our heart that says, I really don't know the ways of the Lord like I thought I did. His ways are so unlike my ways. His thoughts are so unlike my thoughts. When we're being empty, there's something that comes in our heart that says, you know what? I really don't know the ways of the Lord like I thought I knew his ways. There are so many things about the Lord that I don't know. When your heart is being emptied, at times the thought may even come to your heart. Do I even know the Lord? How many times did I say something thinking it was the Lord's heart and it wasn't the Lord's heart? How many times did I do something thinking it was the Lord's hand upon me when it wasn't his hand upon me? There just comes this understanding in our heart that, you know what? I don't know everything there is to know about the Lord. And so many things that I thought God was like, he's not like. So many things that I thought was his heart is not his heart. I'm beginning to understand that there's so much I thought I knew, but I don't know. And there's so much I need to learn in the Lord's ways. Humility. With this acknowledgement comes a simple cry in the heart. And that is, Lord, I just yield my life to you. And I ask you to reveal to me your heart and to lead me according to your ways. When we have this and we see this in our hearts, we know we're being emptied before the Lord. But at the same time of realizing that we know so little of the Lord's heart and ways, we also know we have the Lord's heart and understand the Lord's ways more than we have ever understood them before. We know with everything within us that God has worked in our hearts and he has made us and is making us after his own heart. Brothers and sisters, I know in my walk with God, I have learned that there are so many things about God I haven't entered into yet and I don't understand. But at the same time, I do know God has done a good work in my heart and I do possess his heart and I do know his ways and I am learning his ways. Now, with this thought in mind, I want you to look at Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, 1 through 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou was? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down. And he will tell me what thou shalt do. And what I want us to see here, really see here, is Naomi is moving with the mind of the Lord. Naomi right now is being led by the Spirit. She may not have that understanding that the Spirit of God is leading me in this, but yet we do see her moving with the mind of the Lord. Like all of God's people, there's still much that Naomi needs to learn about God's heart and her ways, but she is being led by the Lord. In other words, she's learning his ways. She's beginning to understand his ways. And look with me at verse 2. I really like this. She says to Ruth, and now is Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou was. Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight at the threshing floor. She's talking about the threshing floor. And brother says, I truly believe Naomi is understanding something of God's heart. She is seeing something of God's heart. See, what is the threshing floor? It's the place where the wheat is separated from the chaff. It's the place of purifying. It's the place where God is removing the dross from our lives and He's making us pure in heart. And ultimately, this is where Naomi tells Ruth to go. And ultimately, what Naomi is telling Ruth to do is this. She's telling her to go to Boaz on the threshing floor and reveal your heart to him. Reveal your love to him. And in return, on the threshing floor, when you read the story, we see that Boaz, who represents Christ, begins to reveal his heart and his love for Ruth. Beloved, I truly believe the evidence that one has been emptied or is being emptied is that there is a precious understanding in our heart that when the Lord calls us to the threshing floor, the place of refining, it is the voice of one who deeply loves and rejoices over us because He truly calls us His beloved. And there is a desire in our heart to answer the cry of our beloved to go to the threshing floor because we know there He is going to do a beautiful work in our hearts. I truly believe that is the evidence of someone who's being emptied out. When they're being emptied out, they hear the Lord calling us to the threshing floor, calling us to trials, calling us to fires, whatever that threshing floor is. But it's not a hard voice. It's not a harsh voice. We understand the heart of the Lord. It is a loving groom calling his bride to that place because he wants to do a beautiful work in her heart. Brothers and sisters, when you're being emptied or emptied out of the Lord, you understand that part of God's heart. And there's something in your heart that says, yes, Lord, I want to go to you to that place because I know it's not for my destruction. I know, Lord, it's because you're going to do a beautiful work in my heart. That's the evidence of one who has been emptied out before the Lord. Ultimately, let's look at the precious and priceless blessing the Lord bestowed upon Naomi. We will end with this. Look with me at Ruth chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine own age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. They called the baby's name Obed. And Obed is a Hebrew word. And Obed simply means to serve another. That's what his name means. It means to serve another. Again, Naomi was seeing something of God's heart that many were not able to see. And that is that God has a lowly, humble heart that desires to serve. And you see the same heart in Naomi, a meek heart that simply loves the Lord and wants to serve the Lord. And what I want us to understand, King David was Obed's grandson. And the Messiah would come from the seed of David. Naomi left full and came back empty. But what she didn't realize that she was returning empty is that she was going to serve her people in a priceless way by being a part of bringing to them the Messiah. Naomi had no idea of the life of God she was ultimately bringing to her people. And brothers and sisters, my truth is this. When we are emptied, now we are ready to be filled with Christ's life. Now we truly have His life in abundance to give to others. She left full. She came back empty. Empty in herself, but alive with the promises of God and the life of God. And she had no idea of the big, big part she was playing in bringing the Messiah to His people and to the world. The reward of being emptied is being filled with Christ and His life. I want to end with this thought. I believe this journey is a lifetime. And through our life, there will be seasons where the Lord will empty us out a little bit more and impart more of Himself. Maybe there are people here today and you've walked with God for a while, a long time. But again, you find yourself being empty just a little bit more. The Lord wants to encourage you. He's simply emptying you. But there's so much more of His life He's ready to pour into you. Stand with me this morning.